Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, January the 15th, 15th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka Superintendent of Schools. Where's my gym? Fred Van Fleck.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some changes that are going on, things that you may not have heard uttered from a superintendent of schools in our area over the last 10 years. You're going to hear it when we come back.
Can't wait.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck, who lost his paws during the holiday season. But before we do, our quote this afternoon.
P-A-U-S-E, not P-A-W-S.
Not P-A-W-S. Unless, you're not one of those who give rabbits for Christmas, are you?
No, the gift that keeps on giving? No.
Yeah. No. Okay, good. FFA humor. I know. We have to think about it for a while.
But although we do have a couple of goats that we're bottle feeding right now at our house.
What's in the bottle?
Goat milk.
Oh, good. Okay. Just checking. You know, that Arcata thing could pop up too. Our quote this afternoon, Walter Hagen, golfer. Quote, "Don't hurry, don't worry. You're here for a short visit, but be sure to stop and smell the flowers."
Sometimes I wish I was better at that.
It's kind of a golf theme, too.
Yes, yes.
So you got a couple of new things here that you're going to whip on folks, huh? That's kind of intriguing. One of the concepts I think that a lot of folks have had frustrations with over the years is the concern that education happens in a vacuum. Okay, independent of what's going on outside. By golly, we're going to continue to have our archaeology majors, and it really doesn't matter that the country is in a recession. We're going to pump out as many archaeology majors as we can because da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And obviously that's at a collegial level. But at the high school and junior high and elementary school levels, there's a desire to do things that don't necessarily connect to what's going on outside. Is there a spirit of change, understanding that perhaps there's different ways to do things?
Yeah, in fact, that's a new venture that we're embarking on right now. We've been working very closely with College of the Redwoods and talking about this whole new idea of, you can call it dual enrollment, concurrent enrollment, whichever way you want to look at it. And basically what it is being enrolled in a high school class, having the teacher make sure that they're qualified to teach a community college level course. And then so that way, follow the curriculum of the community college. And then that way, at the end of the day, they're not only taking a high school class, but taking a community college course at the same time. So when they walk out of that class at the end of the day with a passing grade, they have to do nothing because it's already on the college transcripts and they get the high school credit for it.
So the high school kid, in effect, is taking a class at CR.
That is correct. Even though it may not be located on the CR campus, it's in the CR college course catalog.
So why not just have them go to CR and free up the time for the faculty member to teach something else if the classroom isn't full at CR?
Well, that's one of the things that's very difficult when you start thinking about K-12 education, because most of the students don't have their own transportation. And then you start running into, we have a 6-hour school day that we're working with, and as soon as we start transporting them down to College of the Redwoods, we start encroaching on that six-hour day, and it becomes very difficult to get a full day in for the students. Many people, I think, out there have heard of Academy of the Redwoods.
It's been 5-6 years, hasn't it?
Right, and that's really the model that they're doing down there. We're looking at doing a little bit different model, again, working with College of the Redwoods, but we're going to come in with the career and technical education twist. We're more interested in jumping in and working with some of the students that are looking for a trade when they graduate high school. And the vision for the program is a multi-level certificate program. So if you graduate from high school, get a certificate at a basic level, or it's yet to be named, but at a basic level, say in manufacturing. And then create that track for them to go on to College of the Redwoods and get that advanced level certificate in manufacturing so they're industry ready, work ready.
So, Fred, why not look at doing something like 12th grade English, which I guess would probably be the equivalent of freshman English at college, and do some of those things as well as the career track? Because I'm thinking so many kids wash out and have to take bonehead English or remedial English or freshen up English or whatever it's called at the college of your choice because they're not able to function at that level. And the same with math. And, I'm sure 5 or 6 different courses that are there, because it sounds like that would be the equivalent of senior high school as some of these freshman classes in these other institutions. Could this concept be extended into those areas as well?
We're actually very interested in extending it into more areas, but to start off with, we want to focus on a little bit different student than what's traditionally been focused on. We've spent a tremendous amount of time focusing on these students that are going straight into a four-year university, going off to Ivy League schools, and don't get me wrong, we do a fantastic job at Eureka High School with those students, and we have many students, and my list could go on for a long time of extremely successful students that came out of Eureka High School, going through the AP program, Advanced Placement program, getting their college credit out of some of those classes. But some of the students that we haven't done as an effective of a job focusing on being career ready are some of the students that are in the vocational areas.
So for those guys and gals, would they then be able to, it's kind of a draw to get them to go for another year or two, or at least to get their certification through Redwoods or whatever vocational school that they may be using those college credits towards?
Exactly. The reality is right now that a student graduated from high school just simply won't have the skills to be successful in the workplace.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Fred, the concept here of working together, partnering, whatever we want to call it, between public ed K-12 and public ed 12-14 makes a ton of sense. You already alluded to the Academy of the Redwoods being part of that effort in the past, in one form or another, the advanced placement or the AP classes that the kids take that allow them to get a 4.3 GPA.
That's exactly right. 5-point quality scale in AP.
Still blows me out of the water, but okay, fine. It seems like this would be a way to engage kids that aren't engaged, whether it's the accelerated traditional academic pathway or whether it's the unengaged vocational ed. It opens up ideas instead of locking down ideas for what their lives could be or what their careers could be, whether it's auto shop or whether it's in biology. I kind of see the two being the same. Is that accurate?
Well, I see our task being the same in that we need to prepare the students to be successful in whatever their career field choice is. Some of the students, we need to prepare to go on to a four-year university and be very successful there, and I think we do a fantastic job of that. Some of the students, we just need to get them through high school and get the whole idea of having some sort of productive citizen in our community in mind so that they have something other than the underground economy that we all know about up here, some other trades that they can go out and do. And
you know, that just opens up a whole I mean, you mentioned that kind of with a smirk, and I'm kind of going, yeah. But when it becomes legal, do you see Eureka High School having new class offerings in the ag department?
Well, I think the potential is definitely there, but what you can't forget about are the ancillary pieces that go around this industry. Even now, we all know it's a black market industry, but you know how many electricians are out there making a lot of money wiring up things to support this industry? How many people that are out there doing all kinds of niche industries out there or trade industries where they
need
skilled
labor? Now, is that the function of a high school, though, or is that more vocational schools? Or JCs.
Well, and that's the exact point of what we're trying to do, because I don't think that a high school can adequately prepare a student for this today's technology and the amount of information you need to know to go straight into industry and be successful. However, I think what we need to do is prepare them for that post-secondary education. And that post-secondary education for every student isn't the same. Some students, like for instance in auto, some students may work down at the local dealership and get hooked up with their education program right there, and they're still going to get trained, and we still need to have them reading at a high level, because some of the most difficult reading is that technical reading, and it's our job to get them prepared
with no pictures.
That. Yep.
Oh, boring.
Yep. It's very difficult. And I don't know about you, but somebody fixing the brakes on my car only reading at a 40% comprehension rate of the technical manual isn't going to cut it.
I hope he's got somebody in the next bay he can talk to regularly and often, somebody to review this stuff. Well, so has the goal of a high school diploma changed in the last 25 years?
I would say yes. And the reason I would say yes is because, interesting you picked that 25 years, because that is how long ago I graduated high school. But anyways, 25 years ago, there was a safety net out there. You could drop out of high school just about, although high school was pretty essential back then, but you could drop out of high school or just complete high school. And there's a safety net in our community. Go work on a fishing boat, go out there, work up in the woods, go work pulling green chain in the mill.
Still the natural resource stuff.
Yes.
Pre-computerization.
Right.
Now,
right.
Even if those economies are back, at what I'm told, you're not pulling green chain. You got a machine doing the green chain. You're now a computer tech with a little bit of sawdust on your shoulder.
Right. Well, there's still the manual labor that happens out there, but think about how many mills we have now compared to how many mills we had 25 years ago. And part of that is the computerization or the
automation.
Automation. That's it. Thank you. Automation of... did I tell you where I went to high school?
I was about to bring that up again, but that's okay. Yeah.
But anyways, it is, you know, people being replaced. And you could take that all the way down the line. You know, they've done many pilot tests at McDonald's when you go through the drive-up.
Where it's going. I'm talking to a couple of different franchise operators. Mm-hmm. You make your own. Sit there and kind of like the soda machines are now. What style do you want? And you can do a little of that, a little bit of this.
Or even the person that's taking your order, have you ever noticed the voice there? And it's even happened here. The voice is different than when you pull up to the window. And that's because the person taking the order isn't sitting inside that McDonald's or that fast food chain or whatever it is. They could be in India taking your order and just sending it right over the internet so that they prepare it inside the store.
Or just a voice recognition software.
That too.
You want a big mom? No. No. Speech dialects. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, as you're considering some of the different choices that are out there, one of the choices, obviously, is an educational career as well, whether it's in the classroom, or it's in the administration, and whether it's in financing, or anywhere else. I mean, there's plenty of things around this machine called education. Do we spend enough time considering the different career paths that there are in education? And it, you know, if you're not going to be in the classroom, some of the other choices that are still out there, or the changing definition of what it means to be in a classroom.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because if you think about the state budget, approximately 40 cents of every dollar in a state budget goes out to education. And so it is a huge industry in the state of California. And when you think of dollars going to education, that's not just dollars going to the classroom, although the vast majority of dollars go to the classroom. If you take a look at our budget.
Or the retirement home.
Or the retirement home. That's true. Because if you take a look at our budget, 85% of every dollar we get in Eureka City Schools is spent on salaries. And personnel.
Current salaries? Not retirement?
Not retirement. Because, see, retirement, we have a current liability, so we don't have a unfunded liability out there on retirement. That goes into the STIRS system. We fund our retirement as we go. So that goes off to STIRS, the State Teachers Retirement System, and they're the ones that have that unfunded liability that you've heard all over the press.
Oh, so it's not the school districts throughout the state?
Correct. So for instance, my paycheck, every paycheck that I get, I pay a portion of my state teacher retirement system dollars, the district pays a portion of my retirement, and then that gets sent off to the state retirement system, and then they manage it from that point on out, and the district is no longer responsible. What districts do have an unfunded liability for, it's like, for instance, it's in our collective bargaining agreement that we will fund teacher benefits if they've worked so many years in the district up to age 65. And so we have an unfunded liability of teachers that have retired that we're still paying for their benefits after they retired.
And the benefits is more than just the insurance?
No, that's just simple medical insurance, dental, vision. Correct.
Simple, not cheap.
I said simple, not cheap. I definitely did not say cheap. That is for sure.
So the insurance is part of that figure that you get to play with each year.
And the district is responsible for that insurance.
So as you look at a career in education, would you recommend it?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. It's been very fulfilling for me as a career, and I've enjoyed it very much. Education is an interesting career because you go out there and you talk to people and you have this conversation. Well, you don't want to be a teacher because you don't make any money. Well, I think teachers do pretty well, and you think about...
Boy, do you travel in different circles than me.
two teachers and, you know, two teaching incomes in a single household, that puts you pretty much in the upper middle class with two teachers there.
And depending on if you're in a rural area.
Right.
I mean, they're more right. More rural than where we are.
Right.
I mean, it's different.
Mm-hmm. The thing about teaching is not like being an entrepreneur or anything like that. You're never going to get rich. But, you know, you're going to make a good living. You're going to have your benefits paid for. You're going to have a retirement. More and more as the cost of benefits go up, though, the more and more that jumps into paychecks and gets more and more expensive, just like everybody else, to provide that health care. And those checks start shrinking to a
certain
extent.
Not be rich, but your standard of living is going to be pretty darn comfortable.
Correct.
Yeah. So are there kids getting into education? Are there less and less? Is it a regional thing? I the college I went a year or two that Stefan graduated from, it basically is a glorified teacher's college, or at least in Nebraska, I think it's like 91-92% of all teachers have gone to Doane. Okay, I would, and enrollment is increasing, as is tuition. So I would think that if that would be a pretty good barometer of the Midwest, that education still is something that's attracting and attractive for careers. Is the same thing happening out here on the coast?
Well, I'd say education is very attractive as a career, but the question is it as attractive as it once was? And I would say no. And here's how I would compare that. Because you think about Humboldt County, and this is the interesting thing about Humboldt County. First off, you have to want to live here. Because you don't just come to Humboldt County by happenstance. Oh, I saw a job out on the internet, Humboldt County, and I just decided to move the family up there because we have great airports and it's easy to get out to everywhere. We all know that's not the case in Humboldt County. Most of us come here because we have a tie. For instance, me, I came
genetic
back.
Weakness.
Well, I'll
whether
let
it's
you
a
take
familial genetic weakness or just yeah, I mean, there's something that draws you here. You don't
yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's the difficulty with teaching, because if you remember, I said if you have a dual teacher income, you do very well. If you have a single teacher trying to support an entire family, then you're starting to get down in that lower middle class level, especially if you have a couple kids. It doesn't. One teacher salary is not going to support a family very well. You'll survive.
If you're a single parent, yeah, mm-hmm. It can be touch and go.
Sure, sure. But the issue is, it used to be at one time, you couldn't attract teachers up here because you generally couldn't get both teachers a job up here, or administrators. You couldn't find a job for their spouse when they move up here. And I think that's a problem in a lot of areas trying to attract professionals to this area. But the thing that's becoming interesting now is you rewind 10 years ago, every single elementary position that we had come open, we would have well over 100 applications for every one of those. We just had now granted this was a mid-year elementary opening, but we just had a mid-year elementary opening that we had less than 5 applicants for, and that's almost unheard of in the teaching profession.
Now, what was last fall like?
Last fall was probably somewhere in the middle. We filled somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 elementary positions, and we probably had about somewhere between 40 and 50 applications to fill those positions.
And that's a normal
with.
Ratio for you?
That's lower.
Does that feel comfortable? Do you still get quality?
We still get quality, but here's what happens, is it has a rippling effect across the entire industry up here because our sub pool is from those applications. So we start pulling deeper into our teacher pool to get them in the classroom, the qualified teachers in the classroom, and two things happen. Number one, we have less qualified subs to fill when teachers are out. And number two, the quality of teacher, you went from choosing between the top 10 teachers that you're breaking a tie because this teacher taught 3 years in their previous life as compared to 4 years or something like that. Now we're bringing in brand new teachers that have no experience and really don't know what they're going to be like.
Is that a reflection of Humboldt and their education program, or those graduating from Humboldt just not sticking around, going to areas like in the Midwest where there's expansion or there's growth down south?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's a sign of the times economically, because we're just coming out of the recession. And what's happened at Humboldt is their teacher preparation programs are half the size that they were 5 years ago. And that's almost across the board in all the teacher preparation areas.
So it's not just Humboldt, it's CSUs?
Well,
Across
the board at Humboldt. Because you think you have a multiple subjects teaching credential, which is all your elementary schools. And then as soon as you get into middle school and high school, you start getting into single subject. So there's special education, science, English, math, agriculture. You can go all the way across the board with all the different credential areas once you get into a single subject credential. And so those are all different programs. And if you look at all those different programs, multiple subjects being the biggest, because that's grades K through 6 for Eureka City Schools, those programs are half the size of what they once were.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to talk shop with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the concept of having a teacher shortage is kind of rare.
Certainly in this region.
For subs. Now, I thought that subs were people who didn't want a full-time, rather than those getting their foot in the pool, in the shallow end, hoping to be able to be given the opportunity to go with a full plunge. Is there such a thing as a career sub teacher?
Absolutely. There are some people that are crazy enough to want to have a different class every day and a different set of problems every day. And thankfully, I was not one of those people. I thank them a lot for their service and wanting to do that. But if you think back to your career, how polite were you to substitute teachers sometimes? I can only imagine. Don't answer that question.
Depends if they were engaging or not.
Right.
I'm sorry. End of the chapter. You get what you deserve, baby. But if you engage the classroom in viable thought and discussion, yeah, game on. I mean, sometimes it was an upgrade. It wasn't always necessarily a step back getting a sub.
So what's happened to our sub pools, if you look at that, is our sub pools were at one time much more students trying to get their foot in the door. And now it's transitioning into folks that are choosing that for a profession or retired teachers.
Still wanting to kind of have a little fun.
Right, right. And it's interesting. Teachers, and we've had many do this, and we thank them for doing this, teach for years and years and years, retire, and then turn around and start just doing substitute teaching on a sporadic, random basis when they want to.
So what's your projection for this coming fall? Are you going to have enough of a pool to take care of those retiring?
I believe we will have enough of a pool. The question is, will we have enough to keep the standard of quality that we've demanded for the young teachers that we hire?
Viable candidates.
Correct.
If you don't, do you go out of market?
If we don't, we start, like for instance, this year, already looking to go over to Chico State to their teacher fair, something that Eureka has not had to do ever that anybody can remember, and start going out of the immediate area trying to entice people to come here.
In the region, but outside right. of the market.
Yeah. But the scary part about that is so many people get to Eureka and go, wow, this isn't for me. And that's the nice thing about coming out of Humboldt State is they already know what they're in for. And those we want the people that want to be here.
It's kind of a mantra, isn't it? No, if you have to chain your teacher into the classroom, that's not the way to do it.
That's the substitute. Is that what you did?
Okay, a little show and tell. Thanks for coming by, Fred.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone, you'll see you tomorrow.